Opportunity to speak to your people. I pray you would anoint my words, God, and just bring to my remembrance all the nuances of what you spoke to me this week. Part of what my life message has been to you guys is that God loves us and that we really don't have to do anything for God to love us. And that's true. I'm not backing off that. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But I do want to say there is something that we have to continue to do. I appreciate what Gail said. You know, Jesus died for our sin, and yet we still have to come to that cross daily. And that's that ongoing knock and keep knocking. That's what it literally says, you know. Knock and keep knocking, ask and keep asking. And so this is this ongoing process of salvation and deliverance and all of that. It's not like we don't make it into heaven. We do, but it's this ongoing thing. So anyway, so I've been thinking about the thing that is still necessary to do, that we continue to go ahead in God, and that's prayer. And I was even thinking about prayer this week myself, because it seemed like I had this breakthrough, and I did share that with you, a couple of things that happened that was astounding. And, you know, the breakthrough had to do with the difference between submission to the Word and to what God has said, and then really being able to surrender. And unfortunately, most of the time, you only come to really surrender when you're really at the end of it. You know, there's nothing else you can do. And, I hate to admit that, but that's true, isn't it? Yeah. See, prayer, and you know what? God has been good to us in that he's been showing us that prayer is more than just this petition, just to sit there and ask him for things, but that we're to have a two-way conversation. And that's really what prayer is about. It's the asking and keeping asking, and the knocking and keep knocking, and seeking and keep seeking. Because if we don't do it that way, if we don't do it where, you know, I ask God something and he listens, and then he says something to me and I listen, and we go back in a dialogue, it just becomes a one-way thing. And you know what that's about. I mean, you heard me say it. When you have just like this one-way talk to God, it's like going to somebody's house and using their stuff but never really stopping to talk to them. You know, you're just like talking at them and using their pool and going into the refrigerator. But you're not there for them. But prayer needs to be this developed relationship. And so we can see prayer from that standpoint. We're on this road and we're developing this two-way dialogue with God. Now, to be honest with you, this used to be very hard for me because I was in the same mode that everybody else is. And because I was praying and I really wasn't seeing the outcome of my prayer or feeling, well, you know, God, I've raised my family Christian and I go to church and I'm now a pet, blah, 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 me. And I wasn't getting the results that I thought I deserved to get in prayer. And so prayer wasn't becoming the joy that God really... You realize that, right? God created prayer that it would be a joy for us to have this interaction with him, because he wants to respond to us. And instead of that, instead of it being a joy, it became work. And I was like, you know, am I praying correctly? I mean, your word does say in James, you know, Lord, that the prayer of the righteous, the effective fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. I'm not seeing much availing here. And so am I not righteous enough, right? I mean, you know, these are questions, I don't know if you've asked them, but I've asked myself this. Am I just missing the point here? Am I missing the point? You know, this effective fervent prayer, the New Testament, the New Living Translation says it has great power and wonderful results. And I'm thinking, okay, where's that great power and wonderful results? I know it hit it once in a while, you know, sporadically. Sporadically things would happen. And I didn't stop praying. I just... was questioning, you know. And I just realized this at one point. It was during the whole study of becoming a spiritual director that prayer needs to be dialogue. And I really learned that through the study of a contemplative prayer, where you sit and you listen. You know, you're just there to be with God, you know. And not saying anything, just being there. And it was at that point that I heard God say to me this thing about submission, the difference between submission and surrender. And I didn't really know how to do that exactly, but I knew that there was a difference, and I hadn't seen it before. I realized that I was holding back my surrender at one point. I was holding it back because I was surrendering to the outcome and not to God. And I tell you, that was a slap in the face. And because I was surrendering to the outcome, all I could do was focus on the outcome of what my prayer was, rather than focusing on hearing him, what was on his heart, even as we sang today. Jesus, what's on your heart? I've got to know. You know, and that's really the point where we got to come to. But even knowing all of that and hearing God in that way, it's still hard to surrender, isn't it? It is, because, you know, but the beautiful thing about God is he didn't nag me. You got to do this. You got blah, 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 blah. Pastor Marie and I have tried to emulate that for our church. We've tried not to nag you about things that we see, we feel, you know. We don't want to nag you. But what happened to me was I started to nag me. You know, my heart started to nag me. It wasn't God, though. It was me. Because I was letting his words pass. I knew he was speaking, but I wasn't hearing it because I wasn't tuned in to it. And so, you know what? What do you do when you're at a place where you're up against it? You realize something, and then you don't know what to do. What do you do? Yeah, help. Help. Pray. But you pray in a way where you're like, how about it? You know? And so that's what I did. I said, God, help. And God spoke to me in a very quiet voice. And he said to me this. He said, you're not getting the results that you want because you have a tendency to idolize and worship the outcome of your prayers rather than the one who's actually going to be able to answer them. Think about how insidious. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. I was, and I don't know about you, I'm speaking for myself. I was worshiping and idolizing the outcome of the prayer, even though I was praying to God, rather than God himself and being satisfied with knowing that he's good and knowing that he was going to answer, because that's what the scripture says. When we pray, he hears us, and he's going to answer in according to his will, according to his time. But I wasn't focused in on that. You know, I needed to hear that. And because of that, I was measuring my success. Remember I told you last week I was going to pray about even the going forward with the church, you know? And this was part of the answer of what God gave me. He said, you're worshiping the outcome. And so because of that, the success that you think should come by your prayers, or the success of your prayers, is by your own understanding about what I do, how I do it, how church should be, how people should respond. You know, all of that comes as a result of not worshiping him, but worshiping the results. Is this making sense? Yep. And you know what? So God gave me a scripture just to back it up. And he gave me Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And the Amplified says this, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. And verse 7 says, of that same scripture, verse 7 says, and be not wise in your own eyes. I started to feel bad and just repenting before God, you know, because I did have visions about what the church was going to be and how it was going to play out and all that. And which doesn't mean to say that it's not going to be that way. It's just that I started to get depressed because I was not looking at God and looking at the success or what I understood as success. And so I'm encouraging you as also, press ahead with what God has before you that day and don't worry about all the rest of the stuff. So as I was feeling bad, the Lord said, you don't have to worry. You know, don't get depressed about it. He said, my disciples had the same problem. And if you look in Luke 11, 1 and 2, they were having problems, his disciples. And they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Teach us to pray. And so he did. Verse 2, he said, do it this way. This is the way. And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Now, although He literally told his disciples to pray that exact prayer. In other parts of the scripture, in Matthew's account, he gave them advice not to pray, repetitively. Yeah, vain repetition. Thank you. Not to pray. So how does this play out? So I think what it is that we're to pray this prayer. Well, let me back up a little bit. See, I gave you the account from Luke, but there's an account in Matthew 6. And just before it, it's the script, just before he gives them the Lord's Prayer. I'm talking about the verses just before it. He says to them, and when you pray, don't pray like everybody else, but go into your room, close the door, and in the secret place where your Father is. And then he says, pray this way. So we've been talking about this, the contemplative prayer, about coming into this place, the secret place. And you know, I used to hear this, and I don't know about you guys, but it used to confuse the heck out of me. What the heck is this? What is this secret place? Does it just mean I'd be quiet, I go in a room and close the door? No, it's much more than that. It's a type. It's a place where God is. And what it is outlined in the Lord's Prayer. And so I want to just give Rudy prop, because I did not know he spoke about, even though you might have mentioned it, that he was going to speak about that at a wedding. Rudy did an outline. And when I heard the Lord tell me to do this message, and I mentioned it to Pastor Marie, she said, you know, that's what Rudy just spoke about. So, brother, you're on the same wavelength here, and I want to thank you. I read what Rudy had spoken at the wedding. It was wonderful, beautiful. You get a chance, you should read it, because he's here. That's the Holy Spirit. Anyway. Now, although Jesus told them to pray the exact prayer, this Lord's Prayer, I believe he was telling them to pray it because it was a template for prayers that would become effective and avail much, would have the great power and bring about the effect. So I as I was looking at the prayer, I saw in the prayer 12 focus points that we can take into our secret place. And here's the deal. You don't have to go through all 12 of them when you pray. Whichever one needs to, that you speak to, and I'm going to go through them here and tell you what they are. You stay in that place until you hear the Lord speak about that particular thing that you're going to bring to him. Okay? So here we go. First let me say, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6:7, Paul said that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? The temple is where God lives. God dwells in us, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to live within us, right? And that empowers us to know the truth, to be led into all truth. He brings us comfort and guidance and all this, right? So we're the temple. But then Jesus said in Matthew 21:13, so we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, Matthew 13, that God's house is to be a house of prayer. So I don't know if I'm just extrapolating, but to me, it means that we ought to be a house of prayer. Now, in any physical house, in any like regular house, there are rooms. And I believe God showed me these 12 focus points as being rooms within our own being. And these are the rooms that we're to go into and shut the door and meet God, who is the Father, who is there. Amen? Isn't that cool? Yeah. Okay, so let's start. The first line of the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father in Heaven. To me, this speaks about the family room. You walk into the family room, there's Daddy. Because Jesus called the Father Abba. He called him Daddy. And in the family room, you meet with your Daddy. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure this is right for all of you, because I know you. But for me and Pastor Marie, when our kids came and they wanted to be with us, even to now, even the grandkids now, and they call me Papa, I'm not looking at that they have jelly on their shirt or, you know, whatever mess up that they made. I'm blessed that they want to be with me, that they love me. They come over and they throw their arms around me, and God feels the same way. This aspect of God as Daddy in the family room speaks to me of a focus point. And the focus point is that You are loved by God right where you are. When you come into that place, that family room, our Father in heaven, Daddy, He's right there. I love you. And so there's this need for us to understand that when we begin our prayer, that we are making a prayer, communication. Remember, prayer is not just we're asking for something. We're having a dialogue with someone who deeply loves us beyond our flaws. Amen? So that's the first focus. God loves you just as you are, and you don't have to do anything more to make Him love you more. The second line is, holy is your name. And this is where worship and prayer come together. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. This is the adoration room, where we come and we adore God. It's where we realize that God is not only our Abba, He's not only our Daddy, but He's our King. He's the most powerful, I can't even say He's a creator, He's the most powerful being that ever existed. In Him is all the power for anything that we would need. So we have a Father who is the King, who can actually answer the prayer with power, and there's nothing that gets beyond them. And as we come and we adore Him, we just come, Father, Father, holy is your name. We're combining the worship of God with the need that we have for prayer. Daddy, God. And so the second focus is that God is the one with a capital O who has absolute authority over all that is and all that happens, and He's your daddy. I'm in the presence of the one who can actually do something about whatever the situation is that I'm praying about. Amen. And will. Because He's daddy. Look about what you would do, right? I mean, doesn't the scripture say that? What father knows how to give good gifts? What is He going to give you? You know, give you a crib? I like crib. I know, it says stone. The next line is, may your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. This is the declaration room. And the focus in the declaration is, I'm declaring God's kingdom rule to come in my life. Even as we sang today, Lord, come. No matter what I'm doing, if I'm sitting, standing, sleeping, if I can sing, if I can't sing, if I can dance, if I'm not, whatever, come. I'm declaring God's rule. And this is the place of surrender. This is the place of surrender. In the declaration room. Lord, your kingdom, not my kingdom. Let it be here as it is there. And so the focus then is on God's priorities for me. And what are God's priorities? What does it say? What is the kingdom of heaven made of? What does the scripture say? Righteousness. Yeah, righteousness, peace, and joy. See, because the thing is, if the devil can steal any part of that, your righteousness, certainly, but your joy and your peace, he's got you. Because now you're doubting. Now your focus is on whatever. Maybe even on good things. But not the thing. So, I change my focus in this particular room, and I declare God's priorities over my life. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The next line is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this continues the surrender. Lord, not my way, but your way. And so the focus is I've given up my tendency, the tendency that I have to interpret everything of God in the way that I think it should be. And it's just a natural default mechanism. We just all do it. But that's why we have to daily, it's what's encompassed in coming to the cross. That's what you were saying. It's what's That's the way you do it. Lord, I'm given my understanding of this. It's not even, it's certainly, you know, the wrong actions and things, but even more importantly, my understanding of what's going on, I give to you. I surrender it to you. As it is in heaven, let it be here on earth, God, according to your will. Because to be honest with you, gang, I constantly misconstrue what God is saying. I mean, I'm constantly doing, and I know I'm not supposed to do that. And the more experiences I got in God, the more studying I do, the more I am in ministry, the more I misconstrue. It's just a natural, right? It's just a natural, you know, place that we go to. And so we have to be intentional about moving away from that place. You know, even I would say, even when you have experiences, many times what you do is you go back to how God did something and handled an experience in the past, and you almost expect it to be in the same way, right? That has to be given up also. I mean, God may do it the same way, but, you know, I think God is just so creative. He just comes up with all different ways all the different times. So it's never going to be the same exactly, even though it might be similar. So you might be in a similar situation, but he's going to respond in a different way, and you've got to be okay with that, or else you're not going to receive it. You're going to be fighting what God is actually doing. At least I was, and it was depressing me. So I surrender. And I can't do that myself, to be honest with you, but remember I told you, I ask God. God help. Because I don't even understand this exactly, but you've got to help me, and he will. See, because he's got, well, you know, you said it earlier, Gail, and it's true. It's not a one-time thing. I surrender, and then I surrender, and then I surrender, and then I surrender, and then I surrender. But I'm only surrendering those things that are going to bring me away, that are going to, you know, divide me. They're not going to bring me the peace, the righteousness, and joy. God's heart is always, he loves me, right? Room one. So he's always going to bring me to a place of establishing his kingdom in me, which is, according to the scripture, righteousness, right standing with God, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Yeah, so I give up my tendency. And it's a day-to-day thing. And it's important because we are creatures of habit. So we have to be intentional. If we don't, we will automatically revert to what we've already done, you know, and what our experiences have already taught us. But we're focusing on God. He's teaching us, especially when it comes to prayer. Especially. Why? Because that's the way we have the relationship with him. It's a two-way dialogue which causes us to have a relationship. All right, anyway. The next line of the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. And this is simple. This is the provision room. We all got stuff we need, whether it's, you know, the physical needs that we have to pay the bills and eat and all the other junk, but then the emotional stuff, the wisdom. You know, how do I navigate all this stuff? God's provision includes that. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me today what I'm, give me the power, what I need for today to face what's coming up. Because he knows what's coming up, right? Yeah. So the focus is on our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. You can go into the room, your room, close the door, and ask God about your physical and your other needs, you know? The next one combines actually two aspects. It's forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And this is important because as we forgive, we release forgiveness. We receive freedom. So it's about releasing and receiving, releasing, receiving, releasing, receiving. This is a hard one, isn't it? Because people just, we just want to give them such a punch sometime, right? You want to, my grandmother used to go like this. Just bite the fingers, you know? I can still see her face, funny. And she did it with me all the time. So she had to release a lot of forgiveness. And but the fact is, really, if you want to be free, and I think we could all raise our hands here, right? You gotta forgive. I mean, there's no other way. Why? Because people are people. You know, they just, people do stuff for the craziest stuff sometimes. The reasons that they have, I don't even know. They attach reasons to them. I don't even know if they believe the reason. But for whatever, it's the craziest thing. You just, when people, what? How did you go from here to there? You know, it's like, okay, whatever, I forgive you. And I receive freedom from the entanglement of all the emotional stuff that they're throwing on me. So you take that to your room. Next line is, lead us not into temptation. And this is the protection room, protection against evil influences. And there's a lot of evil influences. There is. It's all over the place. You can't turn on a TV without seeing something evil. It's just unbelievable. And if you don't want to turn the TV, well, I don't watch TV. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're not going to go anywhere. You're not going to go to the store. You're not going to talk to anybody. You're going to just sit and, you're going to be a hermit. You're going to go to the desert. No, right? But you could pray, Lord, and we need to do this every day. Deliver me and protect me from the influences of evil in my life. Now, personally, and again, I don't want to make this a law. This is what I do. I put the armor of God on every day, and I figuratively, when I get to that, that place of the shield, the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, I put the blood of the Lamb, and I say it. I say it out loud. I put the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, over the lintels and doorposts, even as they did in Egypt. They took the lamb's blood and put it over so that the spirit of death would pass them, over the lintels and doorposts of my spirit and my soul and my body. I pray that every day for myself, for my wife, my brother, my kids, my grandkids, and I do pray it for you guys as well. So if you're not praying at all, at least you got me doing it. Well, I'm just being obedient. And I believe that God, responds to that. So you could try that yourself. It's pretty cool. Put on the full armor of God and then put the blood of the Lamb when you get to righteousness. Because He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. We put His blood on that He shed. We are protected from the spirit of death, which not just, physical death, but the death that creeps over us, creeps over our hearts and over our... I tell you, I was feeling like there was this blanket of darkness coming over me the last, not yesterday and today, but a few days ago during the week until God intervened. Deliver me. Deliver me, Lord, from the evil one. Is the next line. Deliver us from the evil one. And that's the warfare room. So there's the influence of evil, and then there's the actual appearance of the enemy. Deliver me from the evil one, Lord, the warfare room. And the focus is I stand, and you have to stand because your deliverance depends on you standing. When you're looking at the armor of God there in Ephesians, excuse me, it says, and having done all, in other words, and having done all of these things, putting on all of this armor, stand. And the word translates to stand and be prepared for battle. But you don't stand in your own strength, by the way. You stand in Jesus' name. You already got the blood on. You stand in Jesus' name. And when you do that, you receive the power in standing to withstand. Oh, yeah. Next line is, yours is the kingdom. And so obviously this is the kingdom room. And the focus is, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to do that. I don't understand what that means actually, but Jesus told us to do it. And so we need to do it. It's essential in the warfare somehow. So we do it just in obedience, even if we don't understand it. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because it seems Jesus thought it was vital to the kingdom coming. Next line is, and the power. And so this is the power room. And the focus then, number 10, is for a prayer that's filled with Holy Spirit power to come over us. We pray, let the Holy Spirit's power overtake me. Refresh my spirit. Rehydrate me. Let me drink from the fountain of life. Give me wisdom, lead me, and guidance, and all of these wonderful things that the Holy Spirit gives us. And that's the focus. Lord, I need more wisdom. Go to the room, close your door, focus on that. Yes. And the glory. Yes. Exaltation room. The glory is actually God's presence. So it's a great focus to be thinking about God's presence. the glory of God. And in the glory room, we honor God, we exalt God, we thank Him and bless Him and acknowledge Him. And it's here, in this room, the glory room, that we draw near to God. Why? Because it's an expression of our faith. Right? 1 Peter 1:7 says, "The proving of the genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold to God." Yes. Precious. Why? Because it's our faith that declares that He is. Right? Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for whoever comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And the last room is the forever room. This is not a one-time deal. This is getting our focus off of, oh, I'm a finite person. I got born one day and I'm going to die one day. And woe is me and, you know, blah, blah, blah. No. The focus is on the never-ending, open-ended life with God. Amen. The perfect, eternal life with the Lamb, who is now the Lion of Judah and has overcome everything. This is what your faith will create. When you go into the glory room and you close the door and you're exalting God and He starts to come, you start to see that this is a forever thing, that God is way beyond whatever your conception was. And your faith actually creates the forever room. You know, Jesus did this every day. Every day He got close to Daddy. And you know, He wants us to do the same thing. So, this prayer, the Our Father, that we know is the Lord's Prayer, and the 12 focuses that I saw within them, I hope that helps you to develop further a relationship with God. I know you have a relationship with God. I wouldn't be able to speak this to people who have no clue what I'm talking about. I just want to give you focus points, because sometimes we can get a little befuddled, you know, about, okay, what is exactly, how do you go into the secret place? What do I do when I get there? So these are things that you can actually bring to God as you close the door and know that you're going to meet the Father there, because Jesus said that we would. And as we use these as a focus of our prayer, all we have to do, we don't even have to be speaking it, all we have to do is bring it into this room, close the door in the quiet place, the secret place, before God. Because it's in that place that we're not just talking at Him, we're also listening. And we're working on our relationship with Him. And this is what Jesus taught us to do. Because relationship involves communication. And communication is always two-way, if it's really communication. See, because the problem is not, oh, I don't hear God speaking. God is always speaking. The problem is always with our listening. Are we listening, or can we hear? Or are there things in the way that are stopping us from hearing what He's saying and then responding, obviously, to what He said? Because I'll tell you the truth, many times God is going to speak, and He has spoken to many of you and to me in ways that are just like off the wall. I mean, just unexpected, right? Do you remember, I don't know if you went to, how many of you went with us to Toronto? But when we were up in Toronto, there was this minister, his name was John Scotland. Do you remember him, Rudy?
Yeah.
John Scotland used to get up in front of everybody, like this place is mod, right? And they were all ministers and everybody. And he'd go, "Rock-a-da-da-da!" People would fall down.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely ridiculous, right? Absolutely ridiculous. But there was an anointing that came. I know it sounds crazy, but you had to be there. I mean, it wasn't anointing when I did it. But when you, I don't think, nobody fell down, so I guess. But see, he was crowing like a rooster, and it really was unnerving. But God was using it in a way to break off that religious spirit. See, there was a point to it. Because there were religious spirits within the people who loved God that were there that were stopping them from hearing the voice of God. Because they were in love with their own interpretation and worshiping their own way of doing and hearing from God instead of God himself. And so God sent this man who got up and just, he'd walk around like he was drunk, like in the spirit. He'd be perfectly fine. And then next thing you know, the Holy Spirit hit him. He'd be walking around like he was drunk and crowing like a rooster. That was like the craziest things. But you know what? No more crazy than, you know, God has spoken to me personally, and I've shared this with you, through birds. I mean, there have been times that the blue jays have flown in, and I mean, just outrageous things. I mean, blue jays are nasty birds, first of all. They're not, you know, yeah, they're aggressive. I mean, I have blue jays, not just with me, like with a group of eight people, landing on our arms and showing up like every week and taking food out of our hands. Over and over the years, the blue jays have been a symbol. I'm not exactly sure what it means, but for me specifically, at least three incidences with blue jays over the years. And so God is speaking to them. And you think about, if you want to go to the Bible, think about Samuel and Eli. When Samuel was a kid, his mom dropped them off to study with Eli, and here he is sleeping, and he hears, Samuel. So he's sure that it's Eli calling him, and this happened twice, as you know. And the third time, but it wasn't him. He thought it was, because God will speak sometimes through voices that are familiar. So we need to be open. God might speak through one of the kids. If we're open, we'll hear that it's not the kids speaking, we're hearing it's God speaking, because we've done our work in letting the, you know, stuff get out of the way that might be in our way. He speaks in many different ways. But you know what? It always starts with one thing, one heart. A heart that wants to minister to God. It's what Jesus did. Jesus ministered to the Father. You know what ministering to someone just means? Considering and caring for someone else. The needs. And that's what we did today. We sang that song. What's on your heart, Lord? We're not self-focused when we do that. We break the power of that self-focusedness over us and let the kingdom of God come. Because when we start that two-way dialogue with God, our hearts are, Father, what's on your heart? What are you doing? What are you feeling? We want to know, Lord. You know, Proverbs 8:17, Wade Taylor used to say it all the time, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Now, does that mean that God only loves those who love him? No, God loves everybody, but it's like with your own kid. Think about it this way. When your kid, say you got four kids, but one of them just absolutely just throws their arms around you, kisses you, brings you this, and tells you this, you know, just becomes special in your heart. You love all your kids, but the one that's paying you the most attention, right? No? Yeah, you love them just, you know, you love them in a special way. And that's what God does. What's on your heart, God? And you know what? We can do this. We can ask that question because Christ lives in us. We are a house of prayer, a house of dialogue with the Father. God has called us and created us to be that. And we can come to realize it. We realize that Christ is the one who's actually ministering to us, through us, to God. It's not us ministering to the Father, but Christ in us, who is the hope of glory. And then from that point, we can start ministering to others. Now, I'm going to be finished with this, but I want something that I read, but it was a long time ago, but it came up with me this week as I was doing the study of the Our Father again. You know what I noticed? This prayer is not singular. It's not my Father in heaven. It's our Father. It's deliver us. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. It's always plural. See, the ministry has to come through and to others so that we come together with the Father. So I know a lot of folks, you know, they say, well, you know, I have my own. I don't have to go to church. I have my own relationship with the Lord. And I'm sure that they do. But the point is, there is not power, the same power in the Holy Spirit when you're by yourself. God has called us to be community. And in community, because people are a pain in the neck, it's going to take a lot of dying. It is, right? You're going to bear with me, I'm going to bear with you. I'm going to give you grace, you're going to give me grace. If we don't do that, offense takes root. And then we start making excuses about why. Well, you know, I don't like the color of that carpet in that church. You know, it was a little hot. I don't think I'm going to go there anymore. You know, pastor didn't say hi to me when I went by. Or stuff like that. And so what we need to do is understand this community. And as we are allowing this fountain of living water to come through us, because we've been ministering to the Father, and now he's pouring in dialogue back to us, we need to stay vulnerable before people and stay away from Christianese. Tell your story, be vulnerable, and that's why it's the power of your testimony mixed with the blood of the Lamb that delivers people. Tell them what it was like before. Tell them what it's like now. Tell them what your hope is for the future. And that'll be the key to get your prayers answered. Amen? Why don't you stand then? Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. How about that? Can we do that?
Yes.
Seeing as though we're called as a group. Just talked about community. I guess we should say it. Okay. You don't have that up there, do you, John? I didn't tell you to put it up there. So we all know it, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's start. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day. We'll see you. Hopefully I'll see you Tuesday.